Seen a big Montana sky. Driven up and down the coast a few times. London, Paris, paradise. But ain't got much memory of the scenes. Come to think, I missed them all. And damn, babe, it's all your fault. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, if you're there, girl, I've got my eyes on you. Don't matter where we've been, no, there ain't no better view than you in my arms with my eyes on you. With my eyes on you. With my eyes on you. Speaking of the coast, remember Pfeiffer Beach, you and me. That sunset, cliffs by the sea, and the night rolled in. And you still talk about that moon that I can't recall. But God, I saw all I needed to. Might as well have stayed in the room. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, if you're there, girl, I've got my eyes on you. Don't matter.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Texas Board of Education voting to approve an optional Bible-infused curriculum for elementary schools.
8-7, the motion passes. Blue bonnet will be added.
The added Bible curriculum would start next year. ABC's Rihanna Nally has more.
The curriculum would be optional, but districts who adopt the lessons will get a boost in funding. Critics say the lessons could be harmful. The decision comes amid legal battles over Louisiana requiring classrooms to post the Ten Commandments and Oklahoma requiring the Bible and Ten Commandments be part of lessons.
Matt Gaetz says he will not return to Congress for the new session. The former Florida congressman resigned from the current session after he was nominated for attorney general, but bowed out over allegations he has denied of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. President-elect Trump's new pick for attorney general Pam Bondi says she's former Florida AG and a Trump loyalist. Senators already giving the thumbs up. This is ABC News. CDC officials warning that cases of whooping cough continue to rise and have hit their highest levels at this time of year in over a decade. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
There have been over 25,000 whooping cough, also called pertussis, cases reported so far this year nationally. The numbers are likely an undercount as there are delays in reporting to the CDC. Whooping cough is cyclical, typically peaking every 3 to 5 years. Federal health officials say vaccination is the best way to prevent it. Symptoms are rapid, violent coughing fits.
Former Marvel actor Jonathan Majors and his ex-girlfriend Grace Jabari have settled her civil lawsuit against Majors for defamation and assault. Majors was found guilty in a separate criminal trial of one count of misdemeanor third-degree assault and another count of second-degree harassment against her back in December. Hyundai and Kia announcing a recall of over 208,000 of their EVs to fix a problem with a transistor that could cause a loss of drive power. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit USPS.com/advantage.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Green Lake County Sheriff Mark Podal provides an update on a man who is believed to have faked his own death. Podal says they've had nearly daily communication with Ryan Borgward since November 11th.
We are expressing the importance of his decision to return home, clean up the mess that he has created. He needs to return home to his children. If he chooses not to return, it's on his own free will. And I think the message is very clear.
Podal says Borgward told them he faked his August drowning death while kayaking on Green Lake before riding an e-bike to Madison, There, he boarded a bus to cross the Canadian border in Detroit before eventually hopping a plane to Eastern Europe. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says he and his staff are working directly with students to discuss school safety.
Speaking in Wausau on Thursday, Call says the improvements being made to local schools are helping students feel more secure.
They're very appreciative about some of the building construction that's been happening, including having a buzzing system and the updated entry that helps students feel more secure.
Call says lawmakers need to get more information from students as they plan out budgets and laws pertaining to school safety. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Father and son are accused of destroying a controversial mural in Milwaukee. Peter and Zechariah Mailer entered a not guilty plea in court Wednesday. They're accused of using a hammer and axe in September, damaging the mural depicting a Star of David combined with a swastika. Peter Mailer commented outside the courtroom.
A swastika in any place upsets the Jewish community.
Mailers could face up to 3.5 years in prison if they're convicted on felony criminal damage to property charges. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A few more sun rays peeking through those mostly cloudy skies today, with temperatures hovering in the low 40s. We've still got breezy winds out of the northwest, which will calm tonight. With a few more sunspots expected throughout the day tomorrow, highs will return to the low 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Farm bill, one attorney general pick out, a new one in. President Biden green-lighted Ukraine's use of long-range missiles, and Russia responded. Wow. About the only thing that didn't happen this week was the announcement of Trump's pick for USDA secretary.
Live from the Friday Fracas via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney. And we welcome to our panel Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. I think we need to keep it a step down from fracas.
Really? Too much?
Yeah. I do. Well, we've got the good senator from Kansas on the show. I'd hate to go straight fracas.
Well,
when we get the senator on here.
We're here for whatever, dude. I'm not here to be putting guardrails on the conversation, all right, brother?
No,
that's not what we do.
I get it.
We're just going to let it
Welcome
fly.
Welcome to
Open
AgriTalk.
The chute.
The problem is, once the chute's open, we got to do more than count to eight. You want to? You want to take it for a full segment. There's
well,
no question.
Welcome
to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis, and it
Hello.
Is Friday and time for the free-for-all.
Woo!
Yeah, we've got a list of issues that we need to talk about. Heck, Davis, but from yesterday when we signed off on the afternoon show, the afternoon hour,
Thursday
so
now.
3 p. Yes, Thursday, 3 p.m. Central. Uh-huh. Matt Gaetz at that time was still the selection for Attorney General, and then he withdrew, and we've got a new selection already in place. I mean, talking about having a plan A, B, who knows if we're going to have to find out what C is, but Biondi looks like she is favored among the senators. We'll find out today because we've got Senator Moran coming on the show. We'll find out what he thinks about the nomination as well. Nice. Disaster aid. We'll find out what the senator thinks about that. And you know what? We've got a lot of spending bills that are going to be taken up. Spending issues. Is that it's going to be in a CR, I think. So we'll find out how.
It's going to have to be.
How Senator Moran thinks the spending, the financing of the federal government is going to take place here between now and, the middle of December. So got about a month to get that done. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
We'll start with the National Weather Service outlook. Atmospheric river will produce one last round of heavy rain and mountain snow and strong wind gusts across the Pacific Northwest today. Moderate to heavy snow for portions of the central Appalachians today, and above-average temperatures expand across the central U.S. this weekend. Chip, I've got a USDA daily export sale to report here. 198,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations. That's for the 24-25 marketing year.
It's been a good week for soybean and soybean product demand. It's been a good week.
Well, all three major U.S. stock indices finished higher yesterday with strong gains in the Dow. Bitcoin
Follow
is shattering price records. Yeah. Nearing the $100,000 milestone this morning, Bitcoin is Trump's proposal to establish a crypto advisory council has fueled a post-election surge in digital assets, giving the industry hope for a more favorable regulatory environment. Gold is seeing new momentum, Chip, rallying 5.4% so far this week. That's the best performance since October 2023. The precious metal has surged around 30% so far this year. And on to that spending you mentioned, Republicans are scrutinizing President Joe Biden's nearly $99 billion supplemental disaster aid request following Hurricanes Helene and Milton. While generally supportive of aid, lawmakers expressed concerns about non-disaster-related provisions such as education and climate change initiatives included in the proposal. Too much pork in the spending bill, Chip?
In a disaster aid bill is the thing. It's not just a spending bill. It's a disaster aid bill that includes some provisions that we will talk to Senator Moran about here in just a moment.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, Matt Gaetz has removed himself from consideration as attorney general nominee, citing his potential to distract from the Trump-Vance transition. The withdrawal follows intense scrutiny and opposition from lawmakers, including Republicans, due to longstanding allegations of sexual misconduct and drug use. Trump picked Pam Bondi as the new nominee. Bondi served as the 37th attorney general of Florida from 2011 to 2019, making history as the first woman elected to that position. And generally, the Senate is expected to confirm most of Donald Trump's other cabinet nominees, although some controversial picks are facing significant resistance. Given the slim GOP Senate majority, that's just four Republican defections, assuming Democrats unanimously oppose, could block a nomination. Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler, will step down on January 20, the agency announced. Gensler, who led the SEC since 2021, oversaw ambitious but controversial regulatory initiatives, particularly around cryptocurrencies. His departure clears the path for President-elect Donald Trump to nominate a potentially more Wall Street and crypto-friendly successor. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's go to Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal Pork. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing real fine. You've been busy. Let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing. Where you been?
Well, it's been a really fun past week. I was able to go down to Texas, and I was able to be a part of the Lackey Livestock's Training Day and an event where I got to speak with young people in the pork industry and their parents about how to tell their story and why our collective stories matter. And it was just an incredible weekend. I still can't believe how many great things happened. And then I ran off to Louisville to support our kiddos who were competing in the National 4-H Livestock Skillathon and the National 4-H Livestock Judging Contest. And I do have to say, I had a lot of nice comments from people about AgriTalk while I was on the road. Everywhere I went, people mentioned it. So kudos to you guys.
Well, kudos to you as well. And speaking of broadcasting, you're doing more and more of it. You've got the new Pork podcast. What's the latest one?
Well, the latest one went up in the middle of my journey around the country there, and it was with Hannah Miller, who recently won the National FFA Swine Entrepreneurship Proficiency Award. And she's a super bright light in her industry, and so it was really fun to talk to her about what she did in her project, but also what are her thoughts about the future of the swine industry and where she feels like she fits in and kind of what she wants to do. And so it's a great conversation. If you haven't heard it, you need to go listen.
Cool. Fantastic. We will, for sure, for sure. It's that time of the year, right?
Yes, you know,
we got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas coming up. We got the annual beard contest at Pork. Tell me about it.
Well, we're excited about this. Our beard contest is on the go. We're getting some entries coming in. So all you've got to do is snap a photo of these great beards by December 15th and get them into us. Information's on our website.
www.porkbusiness.com. Thanks, Jennifer. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Actually, Jennifer, take Friday off next week. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back with Senator Moran next.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairy men and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance on your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
The next disaster.
Hey there, Mondovi. This is Kendra Edwards. Great news for our community. Amplify Health by Gunderson is coming to town. Soon, you'll have top-notch family and children's medicine right at your doorstep. Whether it's a quick checkup or care for acute and chronic illnesses, we've got you covered. Stay tuned for the grand opening, and let's get ready to welcome Amplify Health to Mondovi.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/send us in.
AgriTalk is brought to you by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Help keep African swine fever out of the U.S. by updating your biosecurity plan. Learn more at apis.usda.gov/protect our pigs.
All right, welcome back to Ag. We're talking the free-for-all. We're going to real quick bring the team in and then get to our special guest, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. Jim, let's get the show on the road.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You know, you can tell that you're really zeroed in and focusing when stuff like that happens. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Chip. That's Jim just thinking about himself right there for Jim. I love it.
That's right. That's right. Of course, Davis is here, and let's bring in our guest, U.S. Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Senator Moran, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, Joe. I'm so pleased to know that there are so few standards for admission to this program, you don't even have to know the host's name.
well,
I could
done.
Be president now. I flubbed up.
I feel much more comfortable as a United States senator. All the mistakes that we make, I'm much more comfortable talking to you now that I know that that the standards are so low.
you should feel right at home here. Yes, yes, sir, yes, sir. Okay. I want to start with the disaster aid. Senator Moran, what was your reaction when the Biden administration announced that disaster aid package? $98.4 billion. That's a lot.
It is a lot of money. I tell you that, in my view, the week is, you know, a bit of, it's certainly bad news. No farm bill, apparently. Then the good news is that and these two things are related. Well, one of the reasons we need disaster assistance is because of the failure to get a farm bill in place that provides the Title I safety net. But the news is that it's progressing. It's going to happen. And it's an expectation that the Senate and the House will pass disaster assistance before the Senate concludes its session for December, the pre-Christmas session. So as I'm an appropriator, an ag appropriator. We had a hearing yesterday, Wednesday, on this issue. And USDA was there to testify in the form of the deputy secretary. And the story is that the administration is requesting from Congress $24 billion out of that nearly $100 billion for agricultural assistance.
Yeah. Davis had this in the news. It seems like there's some things in this disaster aid package that I guess we could consider some add-ons. Does it need to be adjusted before it gets the official okay?
Absolutely. And I made the plea, and I'm expecting that my plea might be answered, which is not always the case in Congress. Mm-hmm. But this bill needs to be – yesterday or Wednesday should not be the only time that the Appropriations Committee – looks at these recommendations. It's now time for members of that committee to go to work and put the stamp of approval in, add something, detract, take something away. But this bill is not in its final form. Of the $24 billion that the USDA is suggesting should be included, $21 billion of those dollars are based upon indemnity claims for 2223 on crop insurance. And that is the natural disaster component of the administration's numbers. So 21 out of $24 billion is based upon RMA claims. And the remainder is kind of dogs and cats in administration. And both of those things deserve our attention. But even should we pass disaster assistance, the thing I would remind, we need to make sure that we don't just say that this is ERP and turn it over to the Department of Agriculture to administer. I have been a critic of the way the Department of Agriculture administered the last one or two disaster programs authorized by Congress. We expected them to do their distribution in the way that they had done it previously, and it became something much more in a Vilsack way about farmers with disadvantages beyond just the economic losses of poor crops. Incidentally, right. Man, it's in Kansas. It's a beautiful day this morning. I'm here. It's gorgeous, 38 degrees, sunny, and beautiful fall colors. But the remnants, the fact of the drought, it just remains, yeah. And it's very depressing to folks who year after year can't produce a crop.
Right, right. Jim, I know that these are some of the concerns that you've shared. What else have you got for Senator Moran here?
Yeah, Senator, two things. USDA says they had to implement the last ERP, which was a disaster, I agree with you, because Congress failed to have the total of indemnities that they said. So are you comfortable you're going to get at least $21 billion for those indemnities?
Jim, I was surprised that the reaction to this was there was not much negative from broad spectrum of agriculture and non-agricultural types of senators. I think that we're on a path for the 21 to be the number based upon what I've seen and heard to date.
And what vehicle will we maybe get an increase in reference prices and some further crop insurance incentives? Would that be in a continuing resolution, Senator, or what vehicle?
It seems the most likely to me and to others that this will become part of a continuing resolution passage. Again, we ought to be doing our appropriation bills, but it doesn't seem to be happening. We don't have top-line numbers from the leadership of the House and the Senate, and therefore we will do a CR before December the 20th, on or about, and it is expected to include this disaster. But there's also a number of things, as you're referencing, that we think need to take place in addition to disaster assistance because of the lack of a farm bill. And that list will grow as the add-ons become more important all the time.
Okay. What you just said, disaster will be part of the continuing resolution and not a separate measure?
I think that would be the case, yes.
Okay.
Probably to our advantage. I mean,
patch that you were talking about on the reference prices and maybe some crop insurance incentives there, would that then become part of the new farm bill budget baseline for next year?
If we're successful in increasing and in funding mandatory spending, it is added to the baseline and becomes writing a farm bill becomes much, I can't say much, but somewhat easier.
Okay.
Yes. So the answer to your question is, you know, I've got to remember that I'm talking to people who expect yes or no answers. The answer to your question is yes.
Excellent. Okay. You mentioned the farm bill and we're still looking to get that done. What was your reaction when you saw that Senator Stabenow actually released text earlier this week?
Well, from the last time we talked on this program, in which I made a fool of myself by saying we'd have a farm bill done by the end of the year, I think what changed is that Senator Stabenow remained, after a pause, and that's not the right word, after working with Senator Bozeman and others to get a farm bill, it seemed like this was just a last-minute kind of I'm-doing-something effort, because the bipartisan effort to draft a farm bill disappeared between the time that Senator Stabenow and I visited about the desirability of a farm bill and her recognition, thankfully, that there is such dire circumstances in agriculture based upon weather conditions, drought in particular, but also just economic conditions, high input costs, low commodity prices, all those coming together. She really did recognize that there was a need for disaster assistance and farm bill completion. And something happened over the last month since that was the case, in which it just became clear that the momentum had shifted or gone away.
Senator Moran, do you believe that, you know, the concerns about farm profitability, that's increasing the political will to increase some of the urgency here to get this farm bill completed?
I can tell you that the farm organizations, commodity groups have been ever present in Washington, D.C., talking to members of Congress. And it's not just farmers. It's bankers. It's farm implement dealers. It's farm implement manufacturers. And the facts are evident that the assistance is needed. I also would say that, you know, the politics of the election. Yeah. So President Trump fared very well in rural America. Democrats who have done well in rural places across the country, not so much. And I would expect that you'd see an administration that's going to be focused, a Trump administration that's going to be focused on rural America. But I also expect you'd have Democrats within the Congress who realize they need to up their game when it comes to farmers and ranchers and rural communities across the country.
Gotcha. Senator Moran, thank you so much. Travel safe. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope to talk to you soon.
Jim, it's been really good to be with you.
Oh, my gosh. Right to the very end, he brought it back.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And the nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 20 to 1848, January down 17 to 1829, February down 14 to 1868, March down 7 at 1899. Live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as the trade is really looking at some of the bullishness sparked by higher Fed cash cattle prices that developed on Thursday, along with continued support of demand for feeders and calves at sales barns across the country. And so they're really bidding up the prices, even though boxed beef prices were mixed, and we have that cattle on feed report coming out today. Hog markets are also rallying, building on some technical footing established earlier this week. They also like to see the higher notes in the pork cutout reports. December live cattle up 57 cents to 186.17. January feeder cattle up 90 cents to 254.35. December hogs up 57 cents to 81.37. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets relatively flat today with softer spread action as we head toward December option expiration today. Soybeans are moving mostly higher today. As even though the short-term weather forecast is for positive weather in South America, but another 198,000 metric tons of beans were sold to China. Wheat markets, meanwhile, are also moving mostly lower against some strength in the dollar, pressuring the market. New crop 25 corn down 3/4 to 436. New crop 25 beans up 1.5.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
OP
opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long N to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
Let's keep this free-for-all rolling. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. We had a great short conversation with U.S. Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Jim, in that he said that the patch on the reference prices, on some crop insurance incentives, a farm bill patch, will probably be included in the continuing resolution. Now, that's important for us for the year ahead. But longer term, it's important because what he said it might do to the baseline for the farm bill, right?
Yeah. While it won't make it easier, Chip. It'll make it easier to get a farm bill next year. And he also said if you group all this together, he was starting to say, I think it'll add more lawmakers to vote yes, because you'll have disaster on it and you'll have some other goodies. But if they load it up too much on some of these policy initiatives, Chip, it could go awry.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we at with dealing with Proposition 12 with the Farm Bill?
It's in the House bill, but there was no mention of it. Correct, Jim, in the Stabenow? Right.
Yeah. This is just conjecture on my part, Chip, but yeah. At the 11th hour in this continuing resolution or some other must-have bill, I wouldn't rule it out that they put language in that measure regarding Prop 12.
Okay.
Okay? Something we'll have to look for.
Okay. All right. Well, we've been talking by email and text and everything, but we haven't had a chance to actually sit down and talk on the air about your reaction to the Stabenow bill. What in the world? The timing of this and the optics on it are just terrible.
Well, as Jim Bozeman said, it was an insult, and that was a charitable way to call it. Okay. Okay. It was just. And then she briefed selected Democrats, didn't even have the courtesy to inform the ranking member on the Senate Ag panel. I just don't understand. Not good.
It's out of the ordinary for Stabenow. And I would argue that the last 2 years have been a little out of the ordinary for Stabenow. She was a senator that I thought Bozeman was going to be able to work with, as Moran said. I thought Bozeman was going to be able to work with Stabenow and get something done, but it just didn't happen. For 2 years, it didn't happen, Jim.
So is it a bit of a signal on what we can expect from Democrats on farm bill negotiations in the go forward? Is there anything to take out of it?
Amy Klobuchar will be the minority or the ranking member. Yeah,
most
the ranking
member.
Right. Yeah. What are your thoughts there, Jim?
You can deal with her, and she's a fair-minded lawmaker, and she will listen to her corn and soybean producers and wheat producers in her state. Stabenow didn't.
Right. I think Stabenow, or excuse me, Klobuchar as ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee is going to make for some fairly quick progress on this, don't you think, Jim?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she wanted a bill this year because there's going to be so much that they have to do next year on other issues, Chip. But if they can get this reference price increase, as we talked about, and this other change on crop insurance, that'll go a long ways to grease the skids for a new bill. Then we're off to the races.
Prop 12 language, and I think Klobuchar's attitude is going to be, let's get this done.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the farm bill the place to deal with adding resources to farm worker visa applications? Because let's just say there's a follow through on deportation of illegal immigrants. agriculture, by my reading, is number three industry when it comes to employment of people that are undocumented. Is there going to be, is the farm bill the place to add the financial resources and the people resources to be able to, I guess, do the transactions on and of the processing of the increased legal farm workers we have to bring into the country?
I don't think it would be within the jurisdiction, but I'd have to check that out.
Yeah, but it's something that needs to be tackled.
Definitely,
Sean. Yeah. Great point. Great point. Karen Bonert is working on that angle from the dairy side of things. She talked about that a little bit on Tuesday morning with us. Jim, I think that's got to be a separate immigration bill, doesn't it?
Or an ag only bill, maybe.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have a changed atmosphere on this issue next year and next Congress, because it's called the elections, Chip. So we're gonna have a fresh look at all these things. And I agree, Sean, it's needed. Wherever I go in the country,
yes,
I hear from CEOs the labor issue.
Yeah.
Labor issues are key.
Number one industry was construction. Mining was high. Agriculture was number three. Hospitality was in the top of that list. You know, these are industries that have a hard time finding people, regardless of undocumented or documented. And so that's the side of the equation that isn't being talked about enough. There's a lot of focus on, the amount of people that have crossed illegally. But there's not enough discussion, I think, on how do we increase or deal with the fact that we need to have more resources in the processing department.
And increased anxiety, depending on how the deportation issue goes, you'll lose more workers.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Let's see. Jim, where do you want to go from here? Do we go to tariffs? From this, and what's the latest on the developments of the likely use of tariffs by the Trump administration?
Oh, that's 100% on the likely use. But the market sensitive question, Chip, is when will they start being implemented? And the more I check into this, it may be later rather than sooner, until we know whether or not the Trump 2.0 administration wants to roll tariffs into a budget reconciliation bill in order to get budget offsets for some of the coming tax cuts. If that's the case, then it'll come later. And that's market sensitive, let me tell you.
Well, as we have been talking about for a little while now, is if the approach of the tariffs is as a revenue generator to offset some of the income tax, that it will take longer because he is going to need support from Congress to go out and get this done. If he's going to use tariffs as a leverage only, you know, quote unquote only, then he'll probably move fairly quickly and initiate those tariffs on his own.
Americans are still paying that money. Like, I hate to bring that up, but Haney,
here's where it's different. And this is coming from a guy that does not like tariffs. Okay. If they are going to offset the additional cost of tariffs by cutting my income tax, I gotta look at that. I gotta have an open mind on that.
It's a usage tax then. Yeah,
consumption.
That's a different way. Yeah, consumption tax. Thank you. One of the things that maybe hasn't got a lot of coverage in the U.S. that is getting coverage outside the country related to tariffs, I think it shows the contentious relationship between Mexico and the U.S. is the fact that Canada, the Prime Minister this week, I think it just yesterday, was talking about how maybe we need to kick Mexico out of, maybe Canada just needs a bilateral with the U.S. I think it's, which is something that Canada would have never said in 2018. I think it shows how contentious the relationship is right now between the U.S. and Mexico when it comes to not only trade issues, but more importantly, the issue around immigration. And Canada's trying to separate himself from Mexico.
See, on the tariffs issue, Chip, we have a back page on this on Pro Farmer this week.
And
we have one subheader that's saying, is Trump more flexible than others? China hawks. because he's pretty practical when it comes to the use of tariffs. In other words, like his incoming official, Lutnick, okay?
Yep.
He's saying, look, we're going to use this as leverage. So I think we could be too negative on this tariff issue if that is indeed their strategy in order to extract concessions.
But he's surrounding himself with people that will carry forward that strong voice as,
no
as
doubt.
In terms of the threats of the application of the tariffs. Now, where the disappointment could lie is when he doesn't necessarily follow through and they want to, regardless of what the situation is. That's where there could be a little bit more of a difficult relationship in cabinet.
But recall when Xi Jinping asked him to lift those sanctions on ZTE, he did so. So Trump's more practical than people think he is, even with his favorite word in the English language, tariffs.
That's why that right there is why I'm willing to keep an open mind now when it comes to these tariffs, because I think, you know, from Joe Consumer's point of view, as long as you're not taxing me twice on this, if you're going to reduce my income taxes and replace that with a consumption tax, then I get to balance that myself. And that's coming from
Trump administration, you know, though, won't communicate it as a consumption tax because their messaging is China's paying for it.
Yeah. That's true, but that's why there's guys like you and me and Wiesmeyer and Davis and everybody else that needs to put perspective on this stuff. So, okay. USDA Secretary, no announcement this week. It's November 22nd, but I'm asking, what's the holdup?
Want to get smart?
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 866-89-BIBLE. That's 866-89-BIBLE. 866-89-BIBLE.
Nick Hammett is a sales rep for Neogen. He joins us right now. Nick, Neogen has a genomics product to help commercial beef producers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, our flagship product's called Igenity Beef. What it does is provide commercial producers the opportunity to send in a genomic sample, usually an ear punch, and we'll run the DNA on that animal and we'll get that commercial producer back Igenity scores on 17 different traits. So all their maternal traits, cavities, growth traits, carcass traits, they get a whole portfolio of information that they can use similar to EPDs, but not quite going through the entire EPD process like you would with a breed association.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And Neogen also offers a genomic test for feeder cattle. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. Feed yards and even commercial producers are using that feeder test to decide potentially which calves they may want to retain ownership on, or also to provide potential buyers with the value of those calves. And then once they get to the feed yard, that feed yard could use that information to sort those calves into uniform outcome groups so that by pen they can more optimally hit their days on feed and make feeding cattle more profitable for everybody involved.
Very cool. You mentioned Igenity Branded. What is it?
So Igenity Branded uses either Igenity Beef or Igenity Feeder to value those cattle based on their terminal index. So obviously buyers are willing to pay a little more money for calves that are genetically superior. Igenity Branded's just a way of proving the value of those calves. So those buyers want to pay you more money for the better cattle. So no longer are you just saying, hey, my cattle are better than average, please pay me more money. It actually is a genomic test that proves it.
Very cool. Where can listeners get more information?
Neogen.com. Just go to our website and we've got all kinds of information that can guide you to the right places and get more information on those products.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Hammett, sales rep for Neogen.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to the free-for-all here on AgriTalk. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Davis Michelson, and me, your host, Chip. Okay, Jim, we talked a lot about the Senate Ag Committee. We didn't talk about the House Ag Committee, and it looks like Congressman Costa from California is going to be challenging David Scott for the ranking member of the House Ag Committee. What are you hearing there?
Yeah, it's more than a kerfuffle. They'll have a vote in January. So this is going to, both of those individuals are going to have to tell their members, including several new ones, what they want to do on the committee, because some Democrats say they weren't being adequately informed over the past year on the farm bill development. So I think it's up in the air. He could be successful.
Okay. How do those votes usually go? Like, you know, a lot of times we go to like a farm meeting and there's an election and people tend to vote the incumbent. What happens in these situations?
I don't know.
In what way? I don't know whether it'll be, if it's secret, it could go one way. If it's out in the open, it could go another because of racial considerations. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to, okay. If it wasn't for the fact that we had a selection for Attorney General, the Attorney General selection, Gates, pull his name out of consideration, and a new selection already, I wouldn't be saying it this way. What's taking so long for USDA Secretary, Jim?
Well, there was a long list to begin with, so you never know. And this is always in the second or third tier, just because they want to see who else gets in under the national security appointments, into the energy, trade arena. So this is not unusual to me. You recall how late it was the last time.
Yeah. Either day before inauguration or day of, one of the two, wasn't it?
Yes.
When we got
right.
And Trump, I don't think any president-elect likes when certain individuals lobby for the position. And I won't detail who they are, but that's been the case with a couple of these potential USDA secretaries. So that's why I think they're back to the drawing board. They're looking at the total, whatever the number is, 14 now. So, and you'll recall that Sonny Perdue was interviewed two times. They brought Sonny back and then announced him. So This is kind of a traditional thing when it comes to agriculture. How much of a role is RFK Jr. Right. playing? I think a week ago, I would have said a significant role. Now some people are calling that into question.
You know, I think it's, Jim, it's not only the size of the list, it's the wide variety of opinions and directions some of those candidates would take the department. Like, it's not like you're choosing, oh, these five people and they're all kind of similar and they're kind of the same swath. We are talking about fundamentally some very much with the status quo, some, you know, one in particular, very disruptive, and then other ones like pro business, there's pro soil health. There is, it is a collage of characters.
That's why in Pro Farmer, we said the actual announcement will tell us the direction they want to see USDA going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And to me, Jim, it feels like not only are we setting up the top job, USDA secretary, but it feels like there's being some evaluation for the deputy positions as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because the deputy is, it's always been said, the glue that holds USDA together because they're there every day. The secretary is out a significant portion of his or her time giving speeches, as well they should.
Yeah. Yeah. So when there's, it feels like there's being a lot of consideration for those, you can't even call it a support job, the workhorse jobs. at USDA, the day-to-day activities that happen at USDA.
But Chip, I just wanted to say, I heard you talking earlier this week. I think it is a positive for agriculture, Governor Burgum being involved here. You know, obviously, he's going to be more on the energy side, but he understands agriculture being from North Dakota. So I believe that is a very positive step for agriculture in this administration as another voice.
Yeah. And Christy Noem.
Yes.
Yeah, good point. Yes, as well.
Oh, yeah, livestock angle.
Yep. Homeland Security there. So, okay, Jim, your report this morning, your update this morning, focused a lot on UCO, used cooking oil. That's such a dynamic subject when it comes to the soy complex and the soybean oil market. What's the latest developments?
Well, we had major developments recently, Chip, from both China and Brazil. China is reducing or canceling their export tax rebates for a host of commodities, including cooking oil, you know, used cooking oil, effective December 1. And that could ease Chinese exports to the United States and increase their demand for domestic soy oil. Now, Brazil is also raising domestic biodiesel mandates. And that could reduce or eliminate UCO exports. And some people are telling us if Brazil doesn't enhance soy crushing capacity or expand their biodiesel feedstocks, it could have to stop exporting soy oil completely within a few years. If that's not a significant market development story, I don't know what is.
Well, and we focus a lot on UCO out of China, but don't forget about Brazilian tallow as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point, Sean. Guys, it's going to be 2 weeks before we're back together. Real quick, give me 10 seconds, Jim. What's going to change between now and then?
We'll have a Treasury Secretary announcement by Sunday this week and USDA shortly thereafter.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the USDA secretary. That's one to watch because it's, like Jim said, it's going to provide the direction on that department going forward.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Jim, have a happy Thanksgiving. Haney, do you celebrate?
We do the double dip. Absolutely. We already had our Thanksgiving in Canada, but we'll do the double dip.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney. Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. And, of course, Davis will be back with us this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Jared Creed.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
This fall, enhance your dry fertilizer and power crop performance with Titan XC. By increasing the availability of applied nutrients, Titan XC makes your dry fertilizer program more efficient and effective, meaning you can increase your yields while keeping money in your pocket. Ask for Titan XC on your dry fertilizer today and power crop performance next season. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't